continue in Chapter 11 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. And they had just stolen the ingredients from Snape's Snape's storage. A week later, Harry, Ron, and Hermione were walking across the entrance hall when they saw a small knot of people gathered around the notice board reading a piece of parchment that had just been pinned up. Seamus Finnegan and Dean Thomas beckoned them over, looking excited. "They're starting a dueling club," said Seamus. "First meeting tonight. I wouldn't mind dueling lessons. They might come in handy one of these days." "What, you reckon Slytherin's monster can duel?" said Ron, but he too had read the sign with interest. "It could be useful," he said to Harry and Hermione as they went to dinner. "Shall we go?" Harry and Hermione were all for it, so at 8 o'clock that evening, they hurried back to the great hall. The long dining tables had vanished, and a golden stage had appeared along one wall, lit by 1,000 candles floating overhead. The ceiling was velvety black once more, and most of the school seemed to be packed beneath it, all carrying their wands and looking excited. "I wonder who will be teaching us," Hermione said, as they edged into the chattering crowd. "Someone told me Flitwick was a dueling champion when he was young. Maybe it'll be him." "As long as it's not," Harry began, but he ended on a groan. Gilderoy Lockhart was walking onto the stage, resplendent in robes of deep plum, and accompanied by none other than Snape, wearing his usual black. Lockhart waved an arm for silence and called, "Gather round, gather round. Can everyone see me? Can you all hear me? Excellent. Now, Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club to train you all in case you ever need to defend yourselves, as I have on countless occasions. For full details, see my published works." "Let me introduce my assistant, Professor Snape," said Lockhart, flashing a wide smile. "He tells me he knows a little bit about dueling himself and has sportingly agreed to help me with a short demonstration before we begin. Now, I don't want any of you youngsters to worry. You'll still have your potions master when I'm through with him. Never fear." "Wouldn't it be good if they finished each other off?" Ron muttered in Harry's ear. Snape's upper lip was curling. Harry wondered why Lockhart was still smiling. If Snape had been looking at him like that, he'd have been running as fast as he could in the opposite direction. Lockhart and Snape turned to face each other and bowed. At least Lockhart did, with as much twirling of his hands, whereas Snape jerked his head irritably. They raised their wands like swords in front of them. "As you can see, we are holding our wands in accepted combat position," Lockhart told the silent crowd. "On the count of three, we will cast our first spells. Neither of us will be aiming to kill, of course." "I wouldn't bet on that," murmured Harry, watching Snape as he bared his teeth. 1, 2, 3. Both of them swung their wands above their head and pointed them at their opponent. Snape cried, "Expelliarmus!" There was a dazzling flash of scarlet light, and Lockhart was blasted off his feet. He flew backward off the stage and smashed into the wall and slid down to a sprawl on the floor. Malfoy and some of the other Slytherins cheered. Hermione was dancing on tiptoes. "Do you think he's all right?" she squealed through her fingers. "Who cares?" said Harry and Ron together. Lockhart was getting unsteadily to his feet. His hat had fallen off, and his wavy hair was standing on one end. "Well, there you have it," he said, tottering back onto the platform. "There was a disarming charm. As you see, I've lost my wand. Ah, thank you, Miss Brown. Yes, excellent idea to show them that, Professor Snape. But if you don't mind my saying so, it was very obvious what you were to do. If I had wanted to stop you, it would only have been too easy. However, I felt it would be instructive to let them see." Snape was looking murderous. Possibly Lockhart had noticed, because he said, "Enough demonstrating. I'm going to come amongst you now and put you all in pairs. Professor Snape, if you'd like to help me." They moved through the crowd, matching up partners. Lockhart teamed Neville and Justin Filch-Fletley, but Snape reached Harry and Ron first. "Time to split up the dream team, I think," he sneered. "Weasley, you can partner Finnegan." "Potter." Harry moved automatically toward Hermione. "I don't think so," said Snape coldly. Mr. Malfoy, come over here. Let's see what you make of the famous Potter. And you, Miss Granger, you can partner Miss Bulstrode. Malfoy strutted over, smirking. Behind him walked a Slytherin girl who reminded Harry of a picture he'd seen in Holidays with Hags. She was large and square, and her heavy jaw jutted aggressively. Hermione gave her a weak smile that she did not return. Face your partners, called Lockhart, back on the platform, and bow. Harry and Malfoy barely inclined their heads, not taking their eyes off each other. Wands at the ready, shouted Lockhart. When I come to three, cast your charms to disarm your opponents. Only to disarm. We don't want any accidents. One, two, three. Harry swung his wand high, but Malfoy had already started on two. His spell hit Harry so hard he felt as though he'd been hit over the head with a saucepan. He stumbled, but everything seemed to be working, and wasting no more time, Harry pointed his wand straight at Malfoy and shouted, "Recusemper!" A jet of silver light hit Malfoy in the stomach, and he doubled up, wheezing. "I said disarm only," Lockhart shouted in alarm over the heads of the battling crowd, and Malfoy sank to his knees. Harry had hit him with a tickling charm, and he could barely move for laughing. Harry hung back. With a vague feeling, it would be unsupporting to bewitch Malfoy while he was on the floor, but this was a mistake. Gasping for breath, Harry pointed his wand at Harry's knees, choked, Tarantulagra, and the next second Harry's legs began to jerk out of control in kind of a quick step. "Stop, stop," screamed Lockhart, but Snape took charge. "Finet incantatum," he shouted. Harry's feet stopped dancing, Malfoy stopped laughing, and they were able to look up. A haze of greenish smoke hovered over the scene. Both Neville and Justin were lying on the floor painting. Ron was holding up an ashen-faced Seamus, apologizing for whatever his broken wand had done. But Hermione and Millicent Bulstrode were still moving. Millicent had Hermione in a headlock, and Hermione was whimpering in pain. Both of their wands lay forgotten on the floor. Harry leapt forward and pulled Millicent off. It was difficult. She was a lot bigger than he was. "Dear, dear," said Lockhart, skittering through the crowds, looking at the aftermath of the duels. "Up you go, Macmillan. Careful there, Miss Fawcett. Pinch it hard, it'll stop bleeding in a second, Boot." "I think it would be better to teach you how to block unfriendly spells," said Lockhart, standing flustered in the middle of the hall. He glanced at Snape, whose black eyes glinted and looked away quickly. "Let's have a volunteer pair. Longbottom and Filch Fletley, how about you?" "A bad idea, Professor Lockhart," said Snape, gliding over like a large and malevolent bat. "Longbottom causes devastation with the simplest spells. We'll be sending what's left of Filch Fletley up to the hospital wing in a matchbox." Neville's round, pink face went pinker. "How about Malfoy and Potter?" said Snape with a twisted smile. "Excellent," said Lockhart, gesturing Harry and Malfoy to the middle of the hall as the crowd backed away to give them room. "Now, Harry," said Lockhart, "when Draco points his wand at you, you do this." He raised his own wand, attempted a complicated sort of a wiggling action, and dropped it. Snape smirked as Lockhart quickly picked it up, saying, "Whoops, my wand is a little overexcited." Snape moved closer to Malfoy, bent down, and whispered something in his ear. Malfoy smirked, too. Harry looked up nervously at Lockhart and said, "Professor, could you show me that blocking thing again?" "Scared," muttered Malfoy, so that Lockhart couldn't hear him. "You wish," said Harry out of the corner of his mouth. Lockhart cuffed Harry merrily on the shoulder. "Just do what I did, Harry." "What, drop my wand?" But Lockhart wasn't listening. 3, 2, 1, go," he shouted. Malfoy raised his wand quickly and bellowed, "Serpent Sorcha!" The end of his wand exploded. Harry watched, aghast, as a long black snake shot out of it, fell heavily onto the floor between them, and raised itself, ready to strike. There were screams as the crowd backed swiftly away, clearing the floor. Don't move, Potter, said Snape lazily, clearly enjoying the sight of Harry standing motionless, eye to eye with the angry Snake. I'll get rid of it. Allow me, shouted Lockhart. He brandished his wand at the snake, and there was a loud bang. The snake, instead of vanishing, flew 10 feet in the air and fell smack back on the floor. Enraged, hissing furiously, it slithered straight toward Justin Filch Fletley and raised itself again, fangs exposed, poised to strike. Harry wasn't sure what made him do it. He wasn't even sure, aware of deciding to do it. All he knew was that his legs were carrying him forward, as though he was on casters, and that he had shouted stupidly at the snake, leave him alone. And miraculously, inexplicably, the snake slumped to the floor, docile as a thick black garden hose, its eyes now on Harry. Harry felt the fear drain out of him. He knew the snake wouldn't attack anyone now, though how he knew it, he couldn't have explained. He looked up at Justin, grinned, expecting to see Justin looking relieved or puzzled, or even grateful, but certainly not angry and scared. What do you think you're playing at? He shouted, and before Harry could say anything, Justin had turned and stormed out of the hall. Snape stepped forward, waved his wand, and the snake vanished in a small puff of black smoke. Snape, too, was looking at Harry in an unexpected way. It was a shrewd and calculating look, and Harry didn't like it. He was also dimly aware of an ominous muttering all around the walls. Then he felt a tugging on the back of his robes. Come on, said Ron's voice in his ear. Move, come on. And I think we'll stop there. I hope you like that, my beautiful kitten boo. Have a good night's sleep. Sleep well. I love you.